You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
Romans 13:4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. The connection here, of course, having law enforcement and their role in our society. Sergeant Betsy Smith retired in 2009 from law enforcement and is currently the spokesman for the National Police Association. Sergeant Smith, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Hey, I'm so excited to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Let's kick it off. Give us a little background on faith growing up for you and how it was important in your family.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up on a farm in northern Illinois. I was raised as a Christian. Faith was very important in our family. My father, who was a farmer, was also a reserve deputy. So I kind of had an early introduction to law enforcement. But we're talking the 60s and early 70s, and women weren't very prevalent in the law enforcement field. So as a senior in high school, I became a police dispatcher for my local rural sheriff's department. From there, I went into college, got a four-year degree, and I was a dispatcher in college. And 2 weeks out of college, I was a cop at age 21 in the Chicago suburbs. So I was quite the little shell-shocked 21-year-old. But I spent 29 years as a police officer in the Chicago suburbs. I'm so fortunate. I was able to do just about everything I really wanted to do as a cop. I retired as a sergeant. Parallel to that police career, I had a career as a trainer and a media. I did video training and I did a lot of writing for various magazines and websites. So now I travel the country and I train cops, and I'm also the spokesman for the National Police Association. I've been doing that for the last 3 years, and we're a 501c3 charity that brings attention to all of the anti-police efforts that are challenging effective law enforcement here in the United States.
I am located about 25 to 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis, as well as North County and those areas as well. So I'm just going to put this out there. If anybody from outside of St. Louis listening to this podcast thinks they know what really went down with Michael Brown, you need to go on Fox Nation, search Furman Diaries, and watch that episode. Because there are things that if you are not from this area, you do not know about. When it comes to that anti-police sentiment, what do you think the overall underlining cause of that is currently in today's environment?
You just hit the nail on the head. It started in 2014 in Ferguson, Missouri, thanks to the Obama administration. The Obama administration, and I want to say this, I was an Illinois cop when Barack Obama was a senator. He was my senator. And we knew that he hated law enforcement then. He became president, and he immediately started with the quote-unquote beer summit, and then the shooting of Michael Brown, who had just done a strong-arm robbery and then tried to disarm a cop and got shot. The Obama administration truly ushered in that war on cops that went on through his administration. Then, of course, after the death of George Floyd, we have had those efforts, those anti-crime victim, pro-criminal law enforcement and prosecutorial policies in this nation that have now led to, A, this continuing war on cops. Let's not forget that we've already had 25 cops killed just by firearms this year and 3 police dogs murdered. But we have got out of control homicide in many areas. St. Louis is number 2 in the country right now for homicide. We have these woke prosecutors who will not prosecute so many of these heinous crimes. Media that lies about American law enforcement, that lies about our criminal justice system. And of course, as people are seeing constantly played out in the news, we appear to have very much a two-tiered justice system. And it depends on who you are, who you know, and what you look like as to what kind of punishment you may face.
Completely agree. Now, one of the things that we're having to face on a daily basis is criminal justice reform, and we're seeing everybody trying to take this all different ways. Give us your thoughts.
Our job is to investigate, respond to, and sometimes arrest people for crimes. And we are part of the American justice system. And as everybody recalls, Lady Justice, the statue of Lady Justice, the drawings that we see, she wears a blindfold, and she wears a blindfold for a reason. She is not supposed to know your sex or the color of your skin or any of that. What we're seeing now is that true crime victims are often pushed aside by what we're calling criminal justice reform. And people who are criminals are actually being touted as victims. We saw this after the riots, the Ferguson riots that went on nationwide. And then during the George Floyd riots, we had people committing crimes. There were violent riots all over this country, about 260 of them. And yet, very few of these people got prosecuted. They were seen as just part of the victim class, if you will. And who were their oppressors? American law enforcement. It was just an absolute topsy-turvy view of the situation, ushered in not just, again, this continued war on cops, but it ushered in this criminal-friendly justice system where people are committing crimes and they're not getting punished.
Turning back to Faith now, during your 29 years, and especially during your time out on the street in law enforcement, how did you use your faith to keep you grounded and also use it to keep the officers around you grounded as well?
From a personal standpoint, my Christian faith is really what kept me focused and what kept me sane, quite frankly, during 29 years of policing in the Chicago suburbs. I mean, you know, as a cop, and you know, we hear a lot about post-traumatic stress, things like that. I saw some of the most horrible things cops tend to see, but that most people don't. And this is the thing: most police officers in this country will see more trauma and depravity and violence in the first 2 years of their police career than most people will ever see in a lifetime. That can absolutely affect your mental and emotional health. I've got to say, my Christian faith, and I'm so grateful to my parents for the upbringing that I had. You know, I'm so fortunate that I was never one of those kids who stepped away from the faith. We had a great church. We had a great family faith. It was the most important thing as a law enforcement officer was my faith, because very often I saw things that I just couldn't make sense of. And when you can't make sense of something, you turn to God.
Now, you and I had a chance to talk a few weeks ago in person when we met down in Grapevine, Texas at Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit, which I think is one of the best conferences I've ever been to in my entire life for any reason whatsoever. And we talked about something I was involved in during my high school years. You were involved in it as well. And that is the Police Explorer program. My question is this: how do we get more kids involved, both from the suburbs and urban areas, with the Explorer program or other programs like it? Because I remember my time as an Explorer, and it was really short, but it was really, really good for me to go through it. The Explorer program during the time that I did helped me on so many levels and really made an impact in my life.
I was a police explorer in my little high school, and for the same sheriff's department my dad was a reserve deputy for. And then when I became a police officer, I became involved in the Explorer program as a counselor, as one of the adults. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the explorers in my police department went on to become cops. But they all went on to become really, really good people. One of the problems with the defund the police movement of the last 3 years is one of the first things that suffers are those community policing programs. And that's what police explorers are. We also have citizen police academy programs for youth. All of those programs suffer when you take money out of a police department's budget. And of course, we saw that all over the nation. So you hear a lot of talk about we need more community policing. Community policing takes personnel, takes funding. So I would encourage everybody listening to this, if you don't have a police explorer program or a citizen police academy program for youth or adults, contact your local police department and say, what do you need? What do you need to be able to do this? And then pressure your political leadership to fund those programs.
Now, there's something I have to ask you. It's kind of off center from what we've been talking about, but I've always wondered this. So I've just got to ask the question. These programs that are on, like COPS or Live PD, which unfortunately isn't on anymore, how much time does law enforcement actually spend watching these type of programs?
That's a great question. So I personally, I don't watch any of that stuff. But little secret about me that I don't often talk about in the media is I was actually on one of the first reality TV shows. It was a show called Female Forces. Everybody can Google it. And you can see a much younger Sergeant Betsy Branner Smith. And, so I was involved in the production of one of those shows. I personally don't watch them, but I know a ton of my cop friends who love to watch, you know, reruns of Cops or Live PD and all of those shows. People find it, and even cops just find it endlessly fascinating to watch what American law enforcement is doing around the country.
Staying on that line, have you watched this show called Neighborhood Wars at all? And if you have, what would you do if you rolled up on some of those scenes?
Well, I have. I know the show you're talking about. I've seen some different clips. And I've got to tell you, as a longtime patrol officer, those stories are real. You would not believe some of the scraps, if you will, altercations that people get into over the silliest things, whether it's your dog pooped on my lawn or your fence or your tree is encroaching and things like that. Now, having been involved in a reality TV production, I can also tell you that there is an element of the production crew sometimes sort of amping things up a little bit. So take everything you see on reality TV with a grain of salt. But do neighbors really fight like that? Oh, yeah. And I've rolled up on 100 of them.
Now, even crazier than some of the incidences that are shown on there, I remember hearing a story of a cameraman getting involved and actually stopping a fleeing suspect. And I'm sitting here like, man, you do not get paid enough to get involved in that way and try to stop somebody. Like, come on, man, what are you doing?
I got to tell you, those camera crews and most of the camera crews on our production were from cops. Those are some of the most amazing people. They have such a heart for cops and for the community. And they go out there, they wear body armor. They go through some specialized training. They're fantastic people. And so it doesn't surprise me. And I've heard other stories of them getting involved because they really get attached to the cops that they're following around and to the community that they're helping patrol.
Looking through scripture, what's that one verse for you? What would you consider your life verse?
I'll tell you my number one, and I talked about this on stage at the Young Women's Leadership Summit, is Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Now, when you look at that scripture and you look at the circumstances, you know, they're not talking about the American law enforcement officer, but Christian law enforcement officers have kind of adopted Isaiah 6:8 as our go-to, if you will, our go-to verse, because we see law enforcement as a mission. We run toward the shots. We drive toward the danger. We want to be there. We want to be the ones that help children and help the weak and help those true victims. And we want to be the ones who hunt evil. And you know, in the Bible, there's a lot of talk about evil, and we see evil in the Bible. And Christian law enforcement officers, in my experience, very often we see ourselves as those hunters of evil. I personally believe that you're going to be a lot more successful at it as a law enforcement officer with God on your side.
What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's maybe on the fence about following Christ? Maybe they fell away from Christ. Maybe they weren't raised in that type of family. Maybe they're now hanging around people that do know Christ. What would your advice be?
I would tell those people that we live in a very broken world, the most broken this world has been in my lifetime. The Bible offers an absolute sure blueprint for how to live your life. And only Christ offers an absolute path toward eternal life. Why would you not want that for yourself, your children, your family members? There is nothing ambiguous about Christianity. It's all very clear. It's all spelled out. Christianity is the only religion that can be proven. And so I would encourage anybody sitting on the fence is don't turn toward Jesus, run toward Jesus.
Sergeant Smith, thanks a lot for being on Our Faith, Our Country. Go ahead and pray us out.
Absolutely. Lord God, we thank you, as always, for the amazing opportunities that you provide each and every one of us. I so appreciate this opportunity to be able to do whatever I can for my brothers and sisters. And I am so grateful to be part of this podcast and part of a piece of our nation that offers and provides so much hope, because we do have so much hope. Lord, in your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time, later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.